There's going to be a lot of talk about cars in today's podcast. I was talking about it with my family over dinner, and I mentioned cars. My son asked me, what about them? I said, they're spying on us. And he said, what isn't? That, dear listener, is all the proof you need that Gen Z gets it. I really hope that we can bring this under some kind of control soon, but maybe there's some hope in today's topics. Right, on with the show. From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell him Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 146 of Little Brother for the 23rd of March, 2024. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants, not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com, or you can post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started! The battle between manufacturers and consumers rages on. It seems obvious that if you own a thing, you should be able to repair it. I mean, after all, you paid for it, right? And yet this really fucking obvious truth isn't true. If it were, we wouldn't need laws to make it so, which we do still need and are a work in progress. The auto industry claims that giving people the tools to access everything in their cars, the details on how they work, would result in stalkers getting a hold of your data. I'll take my chances. As we will see multiple times in this episode, the auto industry are full of horse shit. A Florida man, Romeo Chico, is suing General Motors and LexisNexis. Now, I know stories that start with Florida man usually aren't the finest examples of brilliance. However, in this case, Mr. Chico discovered proof of something that I've suspected for a very long time. His car, as it turns out, is a mobile surveillance platform, and it has been ratting him out. After multiple failed attempts to renew his insurance and multiple demands for an explanation, he was finally presented with documentation that a prospective insurer had acquired on him from LexisNexis, which they in turn had acquired from General Motors. It contained details of 258 trips that he had taken in his Cadillac in the preceding 6 months, including how far he'd driven, when he started and ended, and any speeding, hard acceleration, or hard braking. Chico had, as it turns out, opted out of both OnStar and Smart Driver, the latter of which I will tell you more about later in this podcast. It has been said that you should never commit to social media anything that you wouldn't want to tell the police officer on the corner. This is, of course, just a cautionary saying to mind your words, to be careful what you say. Or is it? In New York City, the NYPD had issued a subpoena to X, the social media platform formerly known as Twitter, for all records, videos, and any other information that they had pertaining to a police accountability group. Included in the subpoena were instructions not to disclose the subpoena to targets. thankfully. X didn't follow instructions and notified Michael Clancy, one of the targets, about the demand, advising him to seek legal representation. He has sought the assistance of the New York Civil Liberties Union and moved to quash the subpoena. Rather than try to explain the subpoena to the court, the NYPD have withdrawn it. Make of that what you will. U.S. District Judge Vince Chabria has ruled that a case brought against Apple may proceed. The case was brought by a group of stalking victims who were followed by their stalkers using Apple AirTags. The plaintiffs claim that Apple has not implemented adequate safety precautions in their AirTag product. Apple has countered that they are notifying people who may be being tracked and that their AirTags will beep when separated from the user for a prolonged period of time. Now, as I personally know someone who has been stalked in this manner, I have a good sense that these precautions are not quite as effective as Apple might claim. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. We have two critical vulnerabilities to let you know about in this episode. The first one concerns Fortinet, FortiOS, and FortiProxy secure web gateway systems. Scans on the public web have revealed that approximately 150,000 such devices exist that are vulnerable to CVE-2024-21762. By simply sending a specially crafted HTTP request. The vulnerability is ranked 9.8 by NIST. It is believed that the vulnerability can be exploited to carry out remote code execution, so patch your systems. The other one is unpatchable. This is a vulnerability in Apple's new M series processors. The vulnerability allows for cryptographic keys to be extracted from the chip, kind of missing the point, using a side-channel attack. Mitigation is possible, but it'll slow things down drastically. The exploit can be carried out in user space, but it does need for an application on the machine to be compromised before this can happen, so there might be some saving grace. Well, here we are again. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned Recently? Roku, the streaming TV platform, have disclosed a breach to the Securities and Exchange Commission. Per the disclosure, the estimated number of affected end users is 15,363. In a breach that was opened late December, and brought back under control in late February. The disclosure describes the breach as, quote, unauthorized individuals using account credentials believed to have been obtained from third-party sources were used to access individual customer accounts, end quote. Roku have indicated that they do not believe that payment information or other sensitive data were lost in the breach. May you live in interesting times. So goes an expression that is alleged to be a translation of a Chinese curse. We have, at this point in time, a war going on between Russia and Ukraine. another between Israel and Palestine, and the U.S. has some manner of alliance and involvement in both of them. We have rising tensions with China as well, and all of this adds up to the possibility of cyber warfare. Now, the interesting and troubling thing about cyber warfare and things that look not much different is that it's something that can be waged by non-state actors without an excessive level of effort. You've heard me talk a number of times about the ransomware attacks carried out by usually Russian gangs. Cyber warfare is the same basic game with a different objective. Ars Technica has an article published recently that talks about the risks of cyber warfare on critical infrastructure in the U.S. In particular, they are talking about water systems, but the issue also holds for other critical infrastructure such as communications and energy. So, with that in mind, I'm going to switch hats here for a second. There is precious little that we as individuals can do about how our critical infrastructure is run. We have no control over the corporate entities that run some of it, and little control over the government entities. These systems are going to be run the way they're going to be run, and that may or may not take cybersecurity into account. To that end, I'm putting on my prepper hat, and I'm going to recommend that you and your family are prepared for these critical services to fail or to otherwise go wrong to the best of your ability to do so. If you have the means to generate or store energy, you should try them out and make sure they work. Make sure that you are ready to do so in an emergency. If you are, as most people, dependent on a municipal water supply, might be a good idea to have a supply of bottled water on hand, enough to last you and your family for a few days in the event of an outage. Now, I mention these because these are not hypothetical threats. Back about 2 months ago, in episode 140, I mentioned an attack on a PLC running part of the drinking water plant in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. The attack was benign in that this case, the status display on the PLC was modified to display a political message. But if the attackers got in that far, they could have done much worse. Between then and now, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, better known as CISA, released a bulletin that a China-based group were maintaining a foothold in critical water infrastructure across the country. Bottom line, fend for yourselves as best as you can. I have two OPSEC items for today. The first one affects Tesla owners most directly, but is really a repeat of a theme that I've discussed before. Back in episode 104, I talked about how a threat actor could stand up a fake public Wi-Fi access point, put a captive portal on it, and have people log into it using their credentials for Facebook or Google or Twitter or whatever. I guess that would be X today. When you log in, an error screen tells you that the login failed and to either try another way or to try again later. Well, it turns out that many Tesla charging stations have a Wi-Fi access point for Tesla drivers to log into while they wait for their cars to charge, and using a Flipper Zero, threat actors are able to put up a fake and to use it to harvest your Tesla credentials. All right, what can they do with that? Well, once they have your credentials, they can set up a tracker on your car and know where it is, clone your key, and steal your car. The official line from Tesla is that this is not a problem. Given that their cars are effectively mobile surveillance platforms and the locations and occupants of a car can be easily enough determined, they might actually have a point, but come on. That should also make you feel a little bit uneasy for other reasons. And that brings us neatly to our other OPSEC item for today. The New York Times is reporting that internet-connected vehicles may be recording every drive you take and reporting it to your insurer. So I mentioned something like this in the headlines. However, the story came to light in this case when the owner of a Chevy Bolt asked his insurer for clarification on why his insurance rate rose unexpectedly by 21%. Same basic problem as our Caddy owner earlier. He was likewise presented with documentation of his driving habits. As it turns out, GM OnStar has a gamified experience. Why does everything have to be a fucking experience? Can somebody please explain that to me? Anyway, they have a gamified experience called Smart Driver, which uses your connectivity through OnStar to track your driving, and you earn badges for safe driving. That's actually kind of brilliant. The problem is the same system shares what GM has called, quote, select insights, end quote, with your insurer. GM responds that you have the option to opt out of Smart Driver. Great! You could opt people out by default. Also, as reported earlier in this podcast, our Caddy driver was opted out. It doesn't actually seem to matter if you opt out. So I have an even better suggestion. How about you just leave the fucking cellular modem off of my car entirely? I don't want it, and even deactivated, it poses a risk to my privacy. As usual, we will end the show with the fail of the fortnight. A bit over a week ago, all of the computerized systems at McDonald's around the world went out. The outage began at 0500 GMT and continued until 0900. That's about 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. here on the East Coast of the U.S., but smack in the middle of the breakfast hours for most of Europe and lunch hours for Australia and the Asia-Pacific region. Basically, during this time, they had no ability to function. In the grand scheme of things, 4 hours to fix an IT issue is not horrible. But one is left to ask why the systems were so heavily centralized that an outage can be global. Now, Macca's is not that important in the grand scheme of things, but we've got to ask, who else is running their business like that? Maybe next time it'll be something that actually really matters. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fungaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to DOA, Ed, Joe Cadillac, Julie Bernstein, and David for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pwnt music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our Fail of the Fortnite music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. And our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you've got questions about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com or post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next time when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Episode 147 will drop on April 13th. Stay safe and be well. The first one concerns Fortinet, Fortios, and Fortiproxy Secure WIP. And lunch hours for Australia and the Asia Pacific region. Yeah.